Welcome to The Brainstorm, a podcast and video series from ARK Invest. Tune in every week as we react to the latest in innovation and reflect on how short-term news impacts our long-term views. To learn more, visit ARK-invest.com.
ARK Investment Management, LLC is an SEC-registered investment advisor. ARK and Public are unaffiliated entities and do not have a relationship with respect to either firm marketing or selling the products or services of the other, and therefore ARK disclaims responsibility for any loss that may be incurred by Public's clients or customers. The information provided in this show is for informational purposes only and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision and is subject to change without notice. It does not constitute either explicitly or implicitly any provision of services or products by ARK. An investor should determine for themselves whether a particular investment management service is suitable for their investment needs. All statements made regarding companies or securities are strictly beliefs and points of view held by ARK and/or show guests and are not endorsements by ARK of any company or security or recommendations by ARK to buy, sell, or hold any security. Historical results are not indications of future results. Certain of the statements contained in the show may be statements of future expectations and other forward-looking statements that are based on ARK's current views and assumptions and involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance, or events to differ materially from those expressed or implied in such statements. ARK assumes no obligation to update any forward-looking information. ARK and its clients, as well as its related persons, may, but do not necessarily, have financial interests in securities or issuers that are discussed. Certain information was obtained from sources that ARK believes to be reliable. However, ARK does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of any information obtained from any third party.
Welcome to The Brainstorm, episode 78. Big Ideas is out in the wild, Nick. It's out there. People can look at it.
It is.
I think today we're going to dive into humanoid robots, maybe keep it brief. Everyone should stay tuned because I think each analyst, director, team is going to be doing some deep dive videos. So if you have questions out there, I would reach out. Everyone's active on Twitter, ask questions. But I think humanoid robots we had Tesla's earnings a couple of weeks ago, where that was a big topic. There was Figure AI. I think last week it was CEO Brett mentioning that they are no longer necessarily partnering with OpenAI.
What do you make of that? I feel like that's very big news that's flown under the radar, because I'll give you what I think it implies. And maybe it ties back into the discussions we've been having around open versus closed source and the progression we've seen in performance of open source models. And I'm wondering if that same type of performance gap, the narrowing of that performance gap, is happening within the realm of software running these humanoid robotics. And so maybe it's that, you know, they're seeing such gains in performance in the open source space, they don't feel the need to tie themselves to a single operator. But that means, you know, is there a commoditization of the brain, so to speak, of these humanoid robots?
Yeah, that's kind of where my mind went first, was, okay, you've got open source, but I think there's a lot of things going on. You also have OpenAI hiring for internal robotics, right? Figure wasn't the only place they made investments, right? I think 1X is another company they invested in. I think verticalization is going to be important. And I also think it's important to look at, you know, what is OpenAI doing and where does that apply for the capability of a humanoid robot, right? So it's like you've got the hardware as one level, you've got motion control of the robot as another level. And obviously this is broad strokes. And then at the top, you have the cognition, right? So it's like, to do your job, you not only need to go through the motions, but you also need to, you know, think. And so it'll be interesting to see how those two layers interface. And I think this gets into kind of just thinking about humanoid robots broadly, which is this separation of what is a job versus what is a task. And so it's like, you know, I think dishwashing, I put a slide in here, Maybe should I pull up the slides?
Pull up the slides.
Pull up the slides. All right. Decoupling physical labor from output. That one, that's an important statement to accept and understand. That is essentially the history of automation, right? It's like we would still be working agriculture if we didn't get leverage from some sort of automation. And that's the continued on trend. I'll scroll through these quickly because I'll do another video diving in. But I think another big point here is it's like automation creates industries that people don't expect, right? So this before and after washing machines and time it takes to do laundry, it's not as though people were spending 15 hours a day and doing laundry every week, right? That is not what happened. It took that long. And as a result of that, they did laundry, you know, every 6 months. And so you create a whole different industry, fashion, washing machine, service, repair. It's like all of these things evolve because you've changed the dynamics of what's possible. This one's the big number slide, right? 26 trillion global revenue opportunity. We could probably spend the whole time talking about this, but I'm going to save that as well. I want to talk about this slide right here.
Beautiful slide.
So I think what often gets missed with humanoid robots or is missing from the conversation is, one, there's the obvious statement, and this is the one that Elon has said. This is, you know, why everyone is excited. If you can replace a human with a robot, it doesn't matter how much the robot costs, right? It's $550,000 for a human working over the course of 10 years. And that's not including the cost of turnover, which is actually very high if you have to hire and find these workers. This is just, you know, one for one replacing them. Really, the interesting part is this bottom left-hand corner of this chart. And this is saying, as robots begin to be able to do certain tasks, what is it worth? And this ties into this second slide here, which is jobs are bundles of tasks, right? We've got dishwashing machines. Those are amazing. There's still a professional dishwasher market, which is, you know, close to double the dishwashing machine market. So we've got a great automation that cleans dishes. We're still hiring a lot of dishwashers. And what these professional dishwashers do, a lot of us at home still do, even though we've got something that's doing the specific task of washing dishes. But that's not the full job, right? It's like cleaning the food off of the plate is a task. There's also getting the stuff off the table into the dishwasher. And there's also getting stuff from the dishwasher to your cabinets. And that's, you know, those things take up time. You know, professionally, food comes in, you got to move stuff, set up stuff. And those collection of tasks make up a job. And so being able to automate a human's task is interesting because, unlike, I would say, autonomous driving, you can tackle a single task first and start to deploy it. And that opens up the opportunity. But we shouldn't confuse, going back to this chart, replacing a single task with being able to do 100% of what a human does. And so I think that is a lot of where the conversation gets lost is, you know, if you can do one task, you can have a huge opportunity from the robotic side, but it could not change much for the human. Does that make sense, or am
I talking in circles? I think to tie it back into the general software space and the progress we've been seeing in the large language models, it is, you know, the shift from what we have today to agentic capabilities, which is stringing together multiple actions to take you through a journey. And I think it is interesting when you, I guess I like the comparison to the autonomous driving space, because you can go at this task by task and provide value without having to do the entire job first.
Right. And that's where cost matters, right? If you can do the whole job, you can sell these things for $500,000 and it's a worthwhile investment. But it's like Kiva robots. It's like, what can they do? Amazon warehouse. It's like they could literally go to a QR code on the ground and then go to another QR code on the ground. And that simple ability to move and carry stuff, like they were deployed, hundreds of thousands of them were deployed on that single task alone. But there's still a huge opportunity to what you're saying. And it's like, you need the cognitive side of it, which is very different and complementary to the mechanical side of it. So then maybe just quickly here to step back and talk about where I think we are with humanoid robots. Some of it reminds me of the eVTOL, electric vertical takeoff and landing space, where right now we're at the company creation phase. And that's good. You need that, right? It's like Tesla got involved, that validated the space. And so now you've got tons of people raising money on this promise because it's clear that something could materialize. But I think there's necessarily going to be a shakeout. And that's, you know, this is kind of just the evolution of the way things work. I think it's capital intensive as well. So there's that similarity. And it's both software and hardware, which makes it very difficult to successfully thrive and, you know, train end to end to, you know, find which tasks you can commercialize with.
Right? Who are the, so you mentioned Tesla, we talked Figure in the beginning. Who are the other players to watch in this space?
Sure. And the reason I spoke about those two is because those are the ones that we are invested in. So that's, you know, full disclosure.
Full transparency.
Yeah, exactly. So other companies that are doing interesting things, you've got the Chinese players. So I believe Unitree and Fourier are probably ones that you see a lot of videos of. I think those are moving fast, but likely, you know, it seems like those might not be as commercial ready. I say this so that I get lots of comments on YouTube. Yes, post videos of them actually doing things, not just for research labs. You've got Aptronics, another one in the US. Agility is one that was, I feel like they kind of were actually a little bit earlier to the space. I haven't heard so much recently from them. Same thing with Boston Dynamics, right? They've been doing this for a long time. But pre kind of the AI wave of things. And I think those, you know, you need both of those held together. I think there is, what is it, Clone? Maybe it's Clone Robotics is trying to do like a non-mechanical solution to hand dexterity, which is interesting. But I do think right now it's very early, a lot of people trying things. And the combination of hardware, software, plus capital intensity and need to scale are going to make this a extremely tough environment for multiple companies to thrive.
So last question for you on this space. As an outsider looking in and having followed this from a distance and listening to you over the years, if I had to rewind the clock and go back 5-6 years ago and made a decision on who would be leading the humanoid robotic space, maybe 9 out of 10 people, including myself, would have said, oh, Boston Dynamics. And maybe you would have even said that given all of the flashy videos they were showing at the time. What happened there? What do you think, you know, led to this growth of new competitors, and where did Boston Dynamic go wrong? Or maybe they haven't gone wrong. Where do they fit into this equation? Because I think most people, when they think of robotics, they think of those videos of Boston Dynamics, but we haven't mentioned them once.
I just mentioned them. To start off, one, I think they're extremely talented, right? They have a lot of pedigree and smart people. The company changed hands a few times, so that always hurts, you know, strategy and path. The analogy here is kind of like Waymo and Google. It's like they were working on it pre the AI deep mind stuff, and then they kind of went back and iterated with that. And I think it's similar on the robotics side, where Boston Dynamics was doing a lot of hard-coded things, and now AI's come along, and it's, you know, going AI first is, I think, going to be important for strategy. And also, it's like, you know, if we went back 5 years, and even Tesla said this now, you know, we were like, okay, this is a hardware issue, right? There's not the fine actuation that was needed. And then even now, right, Tesla said, we're not buying anything off the shelf because it doesn't exist. We're making it ourselves. And now it's very much become a software problem. So it's like, that's the excitement and the why now. Humanoid robots is software plus hardware, but the capability advancements are going to be software defined, and software is moving very quickly.
And when you say software defined, let's picture this out a few years. Maybe they become available to everyday consumers as household gadgets or assistants. How do you think they deploy first? Is it that they come custom built with a few tasks, like they can do your dishes, they can do your laundry, they can take out the trash, but beyond that, the capability is limited? Or do you think it will be like what we're accustomed to with ChatGPT and some of these LLMs, where you can ask and it can kind of zero shot learn on the fly how to do something with enough training? And how do you imagine this plays out?
I think this is going manufacturing first. So
not consumer.
I think consumer will happen down the line, right? We have it as half the long-term opportunity. But it seems like factories are a great spot. It's more controlled environment. It's on your own terms, fewer risks of injury, right? Like once you send this into a house, you probably have way more liability, and expose yourself to more unconstrained environment. So, and again, exactly what you said, it's, you know, simple task, lifting something up and putting it down is a huge opportunity. Being able to pick and place something out of a bin is like a holy grail in manufacturing and warehouses and all of that. So, you know, I think it starts with very straightforward tasks and then evolves into jobs, right? And it's like the classic example I give is, if you could hire a humanoid robot or whatever shape robot you want that can potentially generalize to other tasks, to go around and empty trash cans into the big trash can, and then to take that trash can and empty it into the dumpster. It's like, that's a great, probably very big business opportunity.
Well, I think what is exciting is, it may release with predefined skills and tasks that it can accomplish, but because you should be able to release over-the-air updates, right? They will have more capability the longer that they're trained on specific tasks. So I think, I guess that's why this is so much more exciting than just single-purpose robots, you know, the arm that can move something on a conveyor belt, because you can continue to adapt it to its environment and add on skill sets over time.
Exactly. And that's why humanoid, right? Like that's why that form factor, that generalizable nature is, you can, humans learn, the robots will learn.
Yeah. I like the way Brett phrases it. You're just backfitting it to how the world works today.
Exactly. Yeah. So everyone stay tuned for other people going through their big ideas sections. I'll do a deeper dive on robotics and happy to answer questions on X.
Thank you, everyone.